fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. And we are coming to you from Jethro with a Twist here in beautiful downtown Granville, Michigan. I'm glad to be here. We're going to talk a little Turkey Day this time, Bob, because you know what? This is the last time you hear our lovely voices before you're fricasseeing your turkey. So we're going to tell you how to we do it. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to, if you're a digital warrior, get online and check us out on Facebook / The Grillin' Guys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grillin' Guy. And, of course, our website is thegrillinguys.com. You can find recipes. You can find a link to the podcast, free podcast. If you can't make the live broadcast, you can just download it. It'll come automatically to your phone every week, and you'll be forced to listen to us.
Yeah, right. And you know what? It's easy, and it's painless, and it's free.
Why wouldn't you do it?
Right. So, Bob, since we talked last, we both have gone to a deer camp. Mine much different than yours, I'm thinking. And then we're back. So I wanted to do a little recap because I did something that I've never done before. And I want to give a shout-out to Keith Harold and Joe Susanek, the two guys that had me out to their camp. I'm in northeast Kent County and went out there to do what I thought was going to be a laborious task and a little bit miserable, and it turned out wonderful. In that, I had to go out and cook a couple whole prime ribs, which I'll talk about in a minute. But the morning when I was getting ready to go out there, it was raining hard. During the cook, it was snowing sideways, and I got a big old iron smoker. You're familiar with it. It's called the Good One. And that thing does not do well when there's precipitation hitting
it. It's not a good one.
Right, yeah. If you can get it out of the weather, then it cooks like a dream. And what happened was, is I get out there, and they had a little lean-to barn, and one of the guys had cleaned it out for me. So while I was outside, the smoker itself was under a roof. And it
makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, man, did it make all the difference in the world. And I put on 52 pounds of Sobey Meats prime rib, two whole primes. He seasoned them for me, and he took the bones off and then trussed them back on. And I put that on. I got the fire going. She, you know, it's an offset smoker. So I got the fire going. She was red hot. And they had a cherry cut up for their fireplace inside this place. It's a real nice place where I was. So I went and grabbed one of those sticks of cherry, threw it on those red hot coals, and I smoked those primes probably for about 40 minutes with pretty heavy cherry smoke. Wasn't bitter. It was just perfect on there. And then I put them on at about 2 o'clock, and they told me they wanted to eat it about 7. So I'm monitoring, cutting heat back, putting more to it, whatever, because I wanted those things at about 115, 120 center, right? Well, 7 o'clock rolls around, and there's probably half the guys there. So now it's like, whoop, got to put the brakes on.
Slow coming out of their trees.
Right. Well, or slow getting to the party or slow wherever they were. But anyway, long story short is I pulled that. The beef was done. It was I nailed the timing. But now I got an extra half hour. And they wanted it served hot. They didn't want it cooled, right? So what I did is the grates in this smoker are deep. So I pulled the meat all the way away from the heat, the offset heat. And then I took a little chunk of kindling and propped the door open on the front of the smoker. So I was getting fresh air going over top of them rather than through the firebox. And they stayed warm, but it slowed the cooking down a whole lot. And we ate at 7:45, and they were, you know, I was cutting medium rare off the centers of those things. They were probably medium.
So you never threw them on the grill?
No, because
they were overdone.
Yeah, well, they were a little overdone, but secondly, we wanted to crisp them up, but the Good One smoker with that offset heat, you know, you get up by the heat, it's really hot.
Yeah.
And what I'd done is I'd rotated them twice. I started out with the bone side down.
They had nice crust on them.
Yeah, they had a really nice crust.
That's cool.
So it came together. Did some smoked salmon at the same time. You know, that smoker's got a lot of capacity. Did that with that little maple syrup recipe that I have.
Yep.
And it with the mustard and the lime or the lemon. So it worked out really, really good.
Awesome.
Had a great time, man. And charcuterie boards were everywhere, and the wine was amazing. So Keith and Joe, if you're listening, thanks for the hospitality. Had a great time, guys, and I look forward to it next year.
Great. Well, I had a much different experience.
Yeah.
I'm in my big expedition tent, and of course it was raining and snowing, and we were dealing with lots. I brought up a load of wood, thank goodness, because I knew I'd be short on time.
Right.
And the wood I brought was only 1 year cured. Big mistake.
Right.
You got to have 2 years. I know better, but it looked pretty good. I thought I'd be okay, and it burnt okay.
You've been in the fire business your whole life, man.
It burnt okay, but the difference between okay and warm.
Right.
I know
the
second year seasoning.
Yeah.
And the temperature dropped significantly. So long and the short of it is about 3-4 days into it, the chimney is smoking.
Oh,
so I got up there in the middle of the night and I pulled the spark arrestor out and it just took right off. I had put the spark arrestor in per the instructions, shame on me, and it loaded up real quick
because
it's a hokey device. But other than that,
spark arrestor, so the sparks don't come out of the top and hit your tent.
Burn your tent.
Right.
But it really wasn't sparking much. And it was cold and rainy enough that it wouldn't hurt a thing. But also, you know, with that chimney sticking up in that cold weather, single stack.
Right.
If your wood's not quite dry enough, it wants to creosote up a little. So that cap just got creosoted. And
sure.
Yeah, we were smelling pretty bad. It was cold, very cold. But I brought my little gas heater and ran a little vent out through the front door up. It was pretty hokey looking, but it really kept my brother-in-law warm. We had great food. I made brisket before we left. I made ribs. I made chili. And Paul brought up some smoked pork chops that he got down at this place. I can't think of the name of it, but I've been to the shop down by Jonesville. And so that was good. And then we got to go to the Chase Creek Smokehouse one night and the Hawkins Bar one night. Because Friday night in Hawkins, you got to get the fish.
Yep.
And it is phenomenal. For $9.99, are you kidding me? It's
right.
Ridiculous.
All you can eat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so you brought up ribs. I want to talk a little bit about what you did with them at home and what you did with them when you got up to camp.
Sure.
Because that's not something that most people think that you cook and then reheat and they're going to taste good.
We'll visit that in just a second.
All right.
Here's the big problem.
Okay.
When we're bow hunting, we see nothing but bucks, and they're not big enough to suit my palate.
Right. Right.
Opening rifle, I got nothing but doe on me and those same spikes that kept coming around till that 8-point wandered in. But so I really wanted to get a doe right off the bat, but the only shots I got were at young ones, and I just don't like killing them when they're with mom.
Well, yeah. That's
you know,
right.
And I want enough meat. So I got to go back up, long and short.
Well, that is a chore. Yeah, I'm sure that's a problem.
And I know you won't go with me once I told you how cold it is.
Right.
Okay, here's another problem. I had one of those my wife's fancy inflatable mattresses.
Yep.
Queen size, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Started leaking.
Oh, they always do, man.
So I had to...
I'm telling you, in a tent floor, there's too many things on the fourth floor.
I had something under it. I had to hook up the inverter and turn the motor on. It's got the built-in everything plugged.
And that helps you sleep at night when things went in your ear.
No, I didn't leave it on. I should have. It would have been better than waking up three times and doing it. The long and the short of it is I ran into Big Rapids finally after a few days, and I went to this store called Big Lots.
Oh, yeah.
And I found these futons they sold,
mm-hmm.
and they had just the size I needed. Problem solved.
Yeah. So you have futons in the tent now.
Those won't soak up any water. It was a big mattress.
Yep.
It's a big mattress. And it wasn't really what I wanted, but it was what they had.
Yeah, right.
So it fits nicely on that fancy Scandinavian sofa down in the man cave.
Okay.
Looks really good there.
Right.
And then those cushions that I had made for that sofa are going to be my new bed for
There you go. There you go. But
Make lemonade.
Where there's a will, there's a way,
and
right?
And we got to go over and see the crazy cousins across the lake. And, of course, Uncle Todd has his cottage right next to him. He's got this beautiful log cottage. Todd's 84. He lives in Cedar Springs. He's a legend. He's known for walking off into the bush with just a fishing pole and being gone for a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. loves to eat him some fish and drink some river water then. That's what's going on. Coming up next, we're going to do some grilled turkey. Stick with us. We'll be back. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
We live it. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our name. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I think I just left and said we're going to grill some turkey. Ain't that's wrong. We're going to smoke some.
There you go.
Yeah. So if you have a fresh turkey, that'd be best to put on a smoker. If you have a frozen one, make sure it is very, very thawed. I would make sure that that thing's been out of the fridge or the freezer rather for a couple, maybe 3 days before. Barbecue Bob, you've got prep tips about turkeys and brining and stuff that I think are worth talking about as well.
Well, yeah, we all make mistakes when it comes to turkeys, don't we? Right. Remember some of the things you used to do?
Right.
One thing is if it's a butterball or a processed turkey,
right,
it's already been brined.
Right.
Do not brine it.
Right.
Because then you've got jerky.
Right. Yep. It just won't work. You won't like the result.
You might not notice, but discerning people will notice,
right?
And then you're adding too many nitrates to it, so you're over curing it,
right?
Which is like turkey jerky.
Yeah, yep. And it's not you're not gonna. What you're gonna do is you're gonna ruin the juiciness of it.
And depending on the temperature of your garage, I like to. My garage is heated, but I keep it only at about 50. And I've got some of those nice big coolers, of course. Mm-hmm. And I like to throw the turkey in a cooler so it thaws slowly. And I use about 3 or 4 days. It's always easy to set the cooler outside if it's not if it's thawed. You know, you don't want it at 50, obviously.
Right.
So you can just set the cooler outside if it's cold enough or put some ice on it.
Right.
But better, like you said earlier, get ahead of the ball game. Right. Jop's big on prepping. That's a prep thing right there.
Well, you do not want any part of your turkey frozen when you start to cook it. That will jack up the parts that are frozen. You'll overcook the ones that aren't, and it's just a mess.
Well, you slow your smoker down for one thing.
Right.
And you can't bring it up to room temp like you do a chunk of red meat.
Right.
But, yeah. So one of the things I learned a long time ago when I was traveling around doing demos was the phenomenal beauty of just a turkey breast.
Mm-hmm.
And I got fond of buying those for demos. I'd go to shops and try and get them to carry my brand or whatever, and I'd smoke a turkey breast. And I shocked myself at how good they were because it was something I never bought.
Right.
We always bought turkey.
Right, the whole thing.
I didn't even know they sold just a turkey breast.
Right, right.
But I'm telling you, there's something gorgeous, and for me, I like the white meat anyway.
So are they skin on or skin off?
Skin on.
Yes, exactly.
And I like the white meat anyway, so they're great for me. Now, if you like the dark meat on a turkey, you know, just a breast isn't going to do it for you. Here's another thing. Let's say maybe you can't get quite big enough a turkey, and you always like extra. Grab a breast along with the turkey.
Right.
And do a breast or two, and then you'll have plenty of lunch meat, which The breast is great for.
Let's break this down a little bit. Does the breast have a breast bone in it still, or is it a boneless?
No, it's boneless.
Okay.
They do a beautiful job, and I mean, you can find them everywhere.
So the skin's going to be on basically like three sides of it. It's not all the way around.
Right.
It can't be,
it's
right?
It's not on the bottom.
But it's on the top and a side.
Yep.
And so when you are you doing anything to prep it before you put it on a smoker?
Well, there again, it might be frozen.
Right.
So make sure you thawed it nice. and I'm just going to rub some oil on it, and I'm going to take my favorite seasoning and put it on it. Now, it wouldn't be a terrible idea if you have a small injector to just pump your favorite injection into it.
Yep.
If it's fresh or if it's a non-processed, non-cured, you could brine it.
Mm-hmm. So talk about a brine.
And if it is brined already, you can just soak it in water, rehydrate it.
Right. Yep. So brines are made of what?
Yeah, sugar and salt, right?
In water.
Yep.
Right? So pretty much equal parts of sugar and salt and about four times as much water.
You bring it to a boil and then you chill it.
Right. Yep. You don't ever put poultry in a brine when the brine is warm. That is not what you want to do.
Danger.
Right. You're going to cause bacteria to grow like crazy in that thing while it cools. So
somebody might get a gut ache.
So here's what I've done in the past with a whole turkey. So we're going to brine it. I do 2 cups of sugar, 2 cups of salt, right? And not iodized salt, but if you can get
sea salt,
that's best.
I guess kosher salt's what most guys recommend.
Right. Thank you.
And a lot of recipes will call for 2 cups of sugar and 1 cup of salt.
Right. Yep. Depends, because you're going to rinse the thing off when it's done. But if it's 2 and 2, then it's also 2 gallons of water.
Yep.
Right? And you're going to put that in there, and you don't have to boil all 2 gallons to get it to dissolve, right? But you want the sugar and salt dissolved in the solution. So what I've done in the past is boil a gallon, gallon and a half, and then take an 8-pound bag of ice and put it in the solution to bring it back down to cool. It'll melt off, and you got the right amount of water.
Bingo, boingo.
I have not put the turkey in yet, though. You want that solution cooled down to like 40 degrees. Then you can put the turkey in. If you got too much, just pour some off.
It's going to take you about an hour.
Right, exactly. But that bag of ice trick for the rest of your water works really well because it's a double-purpose thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So brining is a good thing. How long do you brine a bird for?
Overnight.
Yeah. Yep. I'm like 12 to 24 hours. I don't think you can hurt it.
You can over-brine, and I'd say most, they're going to go by the pound, but overnight's plenty.
Yep.
Maybe 20 hours max.
Aromatics or anything in it? Not necessarily, right?
Depends on what you like.
Right.
You know, if it's a fresh turkey, no. It's going to taste so good.
Right.
And if you're injecting it with something, there's your aromatic. I love to, you know, remember those deep fryer injector things we used to get? And they had the jars of the injectors. They made one called Creole butter.
Mm-hmm.
It's garlic butter.
Yeah.
You can make your own. If you can't find a jar of that, just make some garlic butter.
Right.
And if you have an injector, just pound that thing with some butter and a little touch of garlic in it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, my mouth's watering.
Melt the
right
butter.
Now.
Melt the butter, mix the garlic in. And then these injectors are like a giant syringe.
Yep.
And my only advice on injecting is put a little bit in a lot of places. Don't put a giant squirt in one spot.
No, it'll pop like a zit.
Right. And you lose it all when it cooks. Anyway, you want little doses of the injected.
Yeah.
So you throw this thing on a smoker. How do I know when it's done?
Digital probe. You know how it's done.
Yep, exactly. So I'm just throwing softballs at you.
I know.
But you're hitting them, so that's a good thing. But
I haven't even had a beer yet.
Right. The turkey on the smoker, running that 250, 275, you don't want it overly hot. Put the smoke on the first maybe 20 minutes. Poultry sucks up smoke more than beef does.
It's a mass.
Yeah, right. So you just want a little bit on there. You don't
but
want it over smoked.
If you got the skin on it, here's something we did. Now, we have large family parties at our house because we got probably the biggest house in the family, one of them. The two of us that have the biggest always have Christmas.
Well, sure.
So we bounce it back and forth. And I have a 3-stall garage, so it's a great place when you get big crowds. And
well, I've eaten in that garage before.
Yeah. I think you slept in it a couple of times. So anyway, the long and the short of it is my wife doesn't like smoked, she says, as much as regular. So we did 3 turkeys. We did 1 smoked, 2 in her oven. The smoked one was gone.
Right, yeah.
Next year we did 2 smoked and 1 in the oven.
Right.
The 2 smoked were still gone.
Right.
But she was happy she had 1 bare naked one so she could make some gravy.
Yep. Yep. So I get it. But it's personal preference. But rule of thumb here, most people don't like too much smoke on their poultry.
Right.
And so it's like perfume.
Well, it's not.
You want a little bit of it. You don't want to be swimming.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Not only that, but you will actually build up a bitterness and an acid. You'll get heartburn
right
from it.
Yep.
It's just like using green wood to smoke your. You don't want to use green wood either because you'll get a buildup, and I no longer can remember all that science, but don't do it.
Right, yeah, you're not going to like it. Coming up next, are you going to go upright or spatchcock? Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. My grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. And do some great things to chicken thighs.
Oh, welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It's the Turkey Day edition. We're going to try to... give you some ideas. We were talking the first two segments here about smoking your turkey. Now we're going to talk about how to prepare the raw bird, maybe in a couple different ways here. Bob was going to talk about this process. Do you smoke it upright on a beer can, or do you spatchcock it? So take it away, Bob.
Well, I'd like to take it away, but we were having a great conversation on the break. Jop and I went to Ferris. And somebody else in the studio went to Central.
Yeah, buddy.
And there was a highway between those two schools.
That's right.
Now, the one thing about...
Twisty, I think, yes, as I remember it right.
The one thing about those two schools is we had two guys for every girl.
Right.
And Conrad's school had three girls for every guy.
Yeah.
So where did we go on the weekends?
Right. To the teacher school.
Yeah,
that's what they were.
The windy M20.
Right.
And it was a hard drive home.
Right.
Yeah. That was a tough road.
It's always pleasant in Mount Pleasant, man.
But the Wayside, I think, is where we used to go.
And I've been there, maybe.
I think it's still open.
Oh, I don't know. It's been a... decades, Bob, since I made that trip.
But I got lucky because I did end up meeting my bride at Ferris.
Don't brag.
I met my bride at Ferris, so one of the few available.
Right.
She just happened to fit.
So tell everybody what a spatchcock turkey is because it makes a difference.
Yeah. And if you've never done it, if you do it once, you can do it with a chicken. Works nice with a big roasting chicken.
Right.
But basically, you're going to have some poultry shears. Or you can do a knife, but poultry shears, it's a good excuse to buy some.
Well, and I'm going to tell you that don't do it with a knife, because especially if you got any of the turkey juice or anything on your hands, because you got to put a lot of leverage to make this thing work.
Sounds like you might have cut yourself.
Well, I've come close, and the shears are where you want to be. I'm just saying, that's a job safety tip for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, my knife experience is still healing. Yeah, so you take those poultry shears and you flip the thing over breast down, so you got that little flapper thing in the back.
That'd be the tail.
And you run your shears right up the back, and you cut the spine out of it.
Both sides of the backbone. Starting at that tail on either side, run your scissors up one side, come back, and run them up the other, and you're going to have this long strip of turkey backbone.
So you're going to have a spineless turkey.
Right.
And it's not Harry Reid.
Right. Exactly.
No. And then it'll fall open and you take a boning knife and you're going to find the ribs poking up.
Right. Because what you've done is you've cut off one end of the ribs by taking that backbone out of there, and those bones are going to be sticking up like fingers at you right now.
So then you slide your boning knife in behind those and they'll just cut right out beautiful.
Right.
And you'll have darn near a boneless turkey. You can completely bone it if you want, but you don't have to.
No, I wouldn't. You don't need to.
And now you've got a big, wide piece of flat meat. Guess what that does? It cooks more evenly.
Right.
You're not, worried about because that's one of the problems with big chickens or turkey is you don't always get them evenly cooked.
Deep in that thigh, yes, or right down by the breastbone.
Yes.
That's the last place that gets cooked. And as a result, you get some on the outside that's generally overcooked and before the middle of it gets done.
Exactly. And if you're cooking it on your grill, it's the only way to do it.
Right.
I mean, it's a great way to do it because you can actually indirect cook it and then flip it over skin side down with a little bit of direct heat, and you can crisp up that skin because
right,
some people like the skin.
Right. Yep, exactly.
And
so picture this thing. You're going to be able to season it. Now, I season three areas. The part that's open now, that's raw, there's
inside,
no skin on
inside
the inside.
Inside of the animal.
The inside of the animal. But you get the inside of each thigh and the body cavity. Season that up, and then I'd flip it over, and I get under the skin with a little bit of butter.
You get under mine.
And a little bit of seasoning under the skin, and then put a little more oil on top with a little more liberal seasoning on top of the skin. I start the thing with the inside down, right? And I cook it with the inside of it down, and then at the end I flip it over and crisp up that skin.
So,
but I might roll it once in between, but most of the time, I'm going to start with the flesh side down.
So I'm a conservative. I just wonder what a liberal seasoning is.
Right. Yeah. A lot of it. a lot of it.
Yeah. So here's the thing about spatchcocking. Those legs are going to want to flop any old way you want.
Right.
Your presentation when you're done with it.
Right.
You know, how it's going to look, the knees in or the knees out.
Right.
Basically.
Right. Yeah. Right.
The wings are going to do what the wings are going to do.
Right.
It's those knees, you know, they go in or out.
Right.
And they look fine either way, but just know that once it starts cooking, she's going to stiffen up and you're not.
Right. Know. And I do it with knees out.
I do
so
too.
So it's flat. So it looks like the turkey just flattened down on top of the grill.
Yep.
And the reason that is that then I have, like Bob mentioned, even thickness and I get even heat. You're still cooking it to 165, 170 to get it done, but it's going to be quicker. Doing it this way.
Yeah.
And it's also going to be more consistent because the thickness of that breast, once you take those ribs out of there, is pretty similar to the thickness of the thighs when they're laying there.
Very similar.
So it's one of those things where
your joints, yep, on the thighs,
right,
and the legs, the drums,
right,
are going to be cooked more thoroughly.
Right.
You won't have any embarrassing red spots.
Right.
Because nobody wants to see that.
Right.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro Country with a Twist. We're talking turkey, which we do like every week, so that's not a surprise.
Right. So we're gonna jump on a side now. I saw this one. I'm not taking any credit. I've not made it yet. But I'm going to tell you,
that's risky.
It's good. No, this one's not. This one's not
grilled cranberries.
No, take your. You've all seen these the metal rings that got a clamp on them that are made for like making cheesecakes or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
a ring pan.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It's got a pan. It's got a flat on the
cheesecake
bottom.
Cheesecake pan.
Yes, and the ring around it. So what you're going to do is make your stuffing a day ahead, a batch of it, and you're going to put about 2 inches of it in the bottom of this ring pan. And it's cooked, but you're going to put it in the fridge and let it get cold overnight, okay? Then the next thing we're going to do the next day when I'm ready to have Thanksgiving is I'm going to whip up a batch of macaroni and cheese, okay?
You and are then, such a – you know, did you grow up in a trailer?
Right. No, I'm telling you, I grew up in a family of five boys. We ate good. But my point is that then we're going to put about 2 inches of mac and cheese on top of that and then cover it with more shredded cheddar cheese.
No bacon?
No bacon. And you're going to put this in the oven for about 45 minutes at 350 because the macaroni's cooked, the stuffing's cooked, but you just want to get it heated all the way through and let that cheese melt in there. And it kind of acts as glue to hold the whole thing together. Take it out 15 minutes before you're going to eat and set it on a cutting board and let it cool a little bit. And when it cools, unsnap that ring and pop it off there, and you got a double layer of
I think
mac
you're
and
pretty
cheese
excited
and stuffing,
right,
man.
I think you're going to be doing this.
I saw this thing on the Food Network. I can't. Like I said, I can't take any credit.
No, it
but
actually sounds really
but
good.
But I'm like, we're having that.
You know what else you could do? You could do some buttery panko chips on top.
Oh,
panko,
yeah. Yeah, right. Give
on
it a little
top.
Crumb crust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I love that on a Southern Mac. So if I'm going to do what you're saying, I'm going to probably make a homemade mac and cheese.
Yep, that's what it is. Yep.
And I'm going to be careful not to overcook my macaroni.
Right.
And I'm going to make my sauce a little on the thick and runny side.
Thick and runny?
Thick and runny. I mean, a Kraft out of the box
right.
powder crap.
No.
It's going to be nice creamy cheese, but it's going to be fairly lucid. So that macaroni is going to want to absorb a little bit of that water.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't want it all pasty.
Right. Nope. Good point. Yeah. Very good point. And I like the cracker crumbs on top or the pankos or whatever they are, man.
Crumbled bacon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Jalapeno.
See, now look, we can ramp this up. What's the Food Network got on the grilling guys, right? What's the Food Network got on the grilling guys?
I was going to do Martha Stewart stuffing here because she has this one. My sister made us once, and it's really good. But we can get into that maybe
later. In the next segment, I take credit for things that I take credit for and those that I don't. I was on a website called Eating Well. And I Googled in their search grilled vegetables for Thanksgiving. And I'm going to cover a few of these because, again, I haven't made them, but I've made stuff like them. I got grilled Brussels sprouts with bacon, grilled broccoli with a herb vinaigrette. I've got grilled sweet potatoes with a peanut sauce. And this one's for you, Bob. I don't think I'd like it, but I know you will. Grilled baby beets with a raspberry thyme glaze.
Mm. Mm.
So we're going to hit some of these vegetables when we come back. Stick with us. We will be back.
Hey, guys. Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on our Grilling Guys Talk Network, originating from beautiful downtown Granville. Could be Lowell if people were listening, but and we've got
or
a lot
Plainwell.
Of
them.
Plainwell, right? We got Jethro is twisting us all over the state.
That's
which is
right.
Awesome.
And a big shout out to WKLQ up in Muskegon too. They're on with us, and of course, there's other stations up further north that we'll mention.
Sure. So we've been talking Turkey Day, Thanksgiving on the grill. What are you doing? We beat the heck out of turkey. We're starting on to some sides now. I've got one that I have actually done. I mentioned there before the break that I pulled some recipes off Eating Well, which I really enjoy. That's a great website, and they have good recipes. But
yeah, you're right.
Right.
I have perused it a little bit.
Right. So maple, bacon, acorn, squash.
Sounds right up your alley.
Super simple. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take raw strips of bacon and put them on the rack in the smoker, but I'm going to brush them with maple syrup before I cook them and let that get that candied bacon on there. And you'll know when they're done because it's when the bacon's done.
It's going to take a while.
It's going to take a while, but ooh, boy, are they good. Then I just chop those up in little itty-bitty pieces, make me some bacon bits, and take an acorn squash, cut the top off it, gut it, put a couple pats of butter in there, and a little handful of that bacon. And you just, you know, cook.
And maybe another little handful.
Right, yeah. And you just cook your acorn squash till it's done, too. And that's an oven thing. You can do it in the grill. You can do it on the smoker. Wherever you like your acorn squash. But, boy, that maple, bacon,
that
butter
good.
In that squash.
You know what I baby. Saw when I was on, maybe it was Martha Stewart. I don't know. But I saw somebody cut the top off a pumpkin and filled it with stuffing.
Really?
And then put the top on it and baked it. I think there was a little brown sugar involved or something too. But
better been some bourbon or something because that sounds crazy.
Apparently, stuffing and pumpkin's pretty good together.
Well, I'd eat the stuffing
pumpkin
and throw
great.
The I'd throw the pumpkin away.
Oh, I love pumpkin.
I'm not a big pumpkin guy.
But you like acorn squash.
I do, but that's yellow. I'm not an orange
they're
vegetable
cousins.
Guy.
Cousins.
I understand.
So you'd never have a Mopar than an orange Mopar.
No. I would. The Super B is all I need, right?
My brother had one of those.
Yeah.
68. Yep. 383.
Squirrel.
Oh, man.
Squirrel. All right. So let's talk about a couple of these eating well recipes because I'm a big fan of Brussels sprouts. It's one
Me
of those.
Too.
It's one of those things most people either like them or they
love
don't.
Love them.
Right.
Here's a fun fact. Brussels sprouts, broccoli, which is another one of yours there.
Right.
Cauliflower and cabbage all have a cancer-fighting agent in them.
Yep.
So if you eat those things every week, several times a week.
Right.
You'll live forever.
So everybody's had the Brussels sprouts that are in the, you go to the restaurant and they come out all crispy and they're good and there's a lot of seasonings on them. There's usually a balsamic glaze on those. And that's what this does too. But the thing I liked about this was more the presentation than the recipe because they're putting them on a skewer, on a metal skewer, and they're going to grill them on the skewer with a honey balsamic glaze.
Ooh.
Right? And that little sweet and that little tart of that balsamic, it's sticky. It'll caramelize.
I wonder if they're putting any oil on them before they grill them.
Don't think so. Place Brussels sprouts in a microwave bowl, water covered, plastic wrap. Just reading through this. Wait a minute. Whisk together the oil. 3 tablespoons of olive oil, vinegar, honey, salt, pepper. See, Bob's smarter than I am. Add the Brussels sprouts and toss until evenly coated. Yeah, that's it. So... there is oil in there because...
And then you put them on the skewer.
Right.
That's going to be a trick.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hang on.
They're hard.
Right. Yeah. Right. Hang on. Put them on there.
Oh, you parboil them maybe?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. 400 degrees. Place Brussels sprouts in a microwave bowl with water.
Okay.
Cover plastic wrap.
Okay.
High till they're tender. 4 to 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. That'll loosen them up a little
bit.
Let them cool, though. Cool enough to handle. Because they'll be hot coming out of that microwave.
Yes.
Right.
Like mountain oysters.
So you're kind of cooking them in the microwave, but you're finishing them off on the grill is really what
this is
really
all about.
Good. Yeah.
Actually, most, if you're going to skewer Brussels sprouts, they generally have you parboil them or do something like that anyway. So
yep.
That's good.
They're like a little rock. They're pretty hard. You need a sharp knife to cut through them, but these are whole ones.
And
you skewer them on
there.
You
could get that 18-year balsamic from Old World Olive Company.
Right.
And simmer that down for your glaze.
Right.
Don't have any, you can go to your nearest Spartan store and get some Rachel Ray for $6. It's pretty good, too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to darken their door. I'm short on a lot of things and for the holidays. And, you know, like you, we're going to be doing a lot of cooking.
I just made a raid.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did you leave me any?
No.
No. All right. Well, here's the good news.
They're out.
They got more than one store.
I tell you what they don't have. They've got these new olives. Here's something for Thanksgiving. There's a great tip.
Okay.
Go to Old World Olive Company because they have these wonderful assortments of olives. Some have lemon. You like the lemon. Some have, I like the garlic.
Right. A whole
but I have a new
garlic?
Favorite.
What's that?
They have a sun-dried tomato marinated. I'm telling you, dude, these things have a flavor that's... hits right out of the ballpark, man. I ate a whole jar at deer camp.
Really?
Yeah.
Sun-dried tomato stuffed olive. And these are the big queen olives. These are the...
No. They're not stuffed. They just have these sun-dried olives floating in the bottom.
Or sun-dried tomatoes, you mean?
I'm sorry. Sun-dried tomatoes floating in the bottom. And it looks kind of weird, but the flavor, these things, it's almost like they're smoked or something. I'm telling you, dude, you start eating these things. Now, I'm at deer camp with my brother-in-law, who's half Lebanese.
Right.
Because I thought, well, you know, he must like olives.
Right.
Wrong. So I had to eat them all.
Right. Well, I know you took one for the team.
It was hard.
Yep. He gave you olives. You gave him his buck. Come on.
He gave me his sister.
So right.
That was a fair trade.
Well, I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole.
You don't have one.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So you gave me a recipe here. I'm just going to wing it because grilled baby beets with raspberry thyme glaze sounds wonderful. You need some seedless raspberry jam, raspberry vinegar, or red wine vinegar. Now, I know Old World Olive Company has raspberry or plum balsamic.
Right.
Some fresh thyme. Love it. I could eat that stuff by the stalk. Seriously,
right.
Love it. 1 pound of baby beets scrubbed and trimmed. Okay. Some extra virgin olive oil. I know where to get that. Some garlic powder. I just get the garlic EVO. Some sea salt. 4 ounces of goat cheese. And then fresh raspberries for garnish.
Yeah.
So you get your grill to medium high. And you put the jam and all that stuff together in a microwavable safe bowl. And I'm not going to read this on the air. It just ain't right.
Well, you don't have to read it, but the point is you're going to grill those beets to get them to tender, and then you're probably going to glaze them.
You're going to go to eatingwell.com
right.
and grilled baby beets with raspberry thyme. Take your time.
Right. but it's a great website. They are not a paid endorser, but
no,
when I like to give credit where credit's due, though.
Martha Ray's not either, and I've said her name six times now.
I understand. That's Rachel Ray or Martha Stewart.
Well, Rachel's
but maybe,
her
maybe they got together, and they had Martha Ray.
Martha Ray's from the 40s, boy.
Did I say Martha Ray?
Yeah. I was probably the only one listening, so it doesn't matter.
And I still haven't had a beer.
Right.
So anyway, there's one night at deer camp.
Right. Oh, my God. Conrad, do we still have time left in this segment?
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes, boys.
All right. I got one more.
Do it.
Do you like sweet potatoes?
Yeah.
I do, too.
I don't want too much junk on them.
Nope, I don't either. And this is a peanut sauce. Is all it is. So I'm gonna give you for granted.
So this is gonna be like a Thai sweet potato,
right? And it's a dipping sauce. It's not on the potato.
Oh,
okay. So I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt that everybody out there can cut a wedge into a sweet potato and grill it. Put a little oil on it so it doesn't stick to your grill. Turn it on high. Grill them. Get some marks on there. Get
cut
them soft.
A wedge or cut a
the long ways the wedges.
Yep.
So that they're like a fry,
fry. You're going to put
a thick cut fry, and I'm going to put them right on the grill.
Oh, you're going to make wedges.
Yes, okay. Yep, and grill them. So the peanut stuff is a dip uh-huh. that you serve beside them. Curry powder, cumin, salt, pepper, coconut milk.
Are you
going to
peel that potato?
What?
You going to peel that sweet potato?
Yeah, I'm going to peel off
Because I don't.
No?
No, I just scrub them.
Yeah.
They tell you you're supposed to have the skin on those like a regular potato.
Right.
And you don't notice it.
No. I just have always skinned them, but, you know, you don't have to. But once again, this is on Eating Well.
You'll skin a sweet potato, but you won't skin a deer. Right. I don't get that.
Well, I do. It's a heck of a lot less work, man. But it's a peanut butter-based sauce that you dip them in. So, you know, a lot of people do everything with ranch. And I'm not a big guy to put, like, brown sugar on my sweet potatoes. I think they're sweet enough as they are.
You should see the ones that get produced at our house.
Yeah.
Give me a heart attack.
But, you know, I liked it because it had some cumin and some chili garlic sauce in this peanut butter
that
sauce.
That sounds so good.
Yeah, it's really good,
you
man.
Know, Conrad's giving me some weird hand signals. I think he's mad.
Right.
I think we got to go.
All right. Well, coming up next, how to use your grill for a turkey. Stick with us. We'll be back.
No, guys, this is your final segment.
I thought it was.
Tune in again next week for another edition of The Grilling Guys with Jop and Barbecue Bob, brought to you from the studios of Jethro FM.